Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm Gaius, John Batchelor, and Germanicus, Mark of Laos, is here, analyzing the battlefield that we can see from 90 AD. We can see that far into the future. We also can see the talk of nuclear weapons heretofore for these last 3 months of the battle between late February and late May. The talk about nukes has been entirely out of the Kremlin, Moscow, Vladimir Putin personally, and weapons have been tested that are nuclear capable. Bombers have been sent over the Sea of Japan, nuclear capable. Russian and Chinese communist bombers. So nukes have been in the news. We now have nukes also in the news, but this time I read from a document, Interfax Ukraine news agency. The State Nuclear Regulatory Inspectorate of Ukraine has accused the International Nuclear Safety Agency, the IAEA, of the United Nations, and its director, General Rafael Mariano Grossi, of encouraging acts of nuclear terrorism by Russia in Ukraine, as well as contributing to the strengthening of threats to the nuclear security of the world. The document is quite detailed, this allegation. It turns on Zaporizhia. You'll remember the nuclear plants. There's six of them altogether that were apparently attacked, or there was a missile that landed in the midst of the campus early on in the conflict. By shelling and by using missiles, the Russians have been very reckless. And also their investiture in a nuclear plant to the north, Chernobyl, we know it very well, and their mishandling of fissile material. This allegation comes to the IAEA at the UN because they want an inspection. However, that isn't the rumor. I tell you, Germanicus, there is ambiguous language out of Kyiv, and it's a rumor. It's not fact. It's a rumor that the Ukrainians, who voluntarily gave up their nuclear weapons at the end of the Cold War, who voluntarily in 2010 gave up what fissile material they still had, because the material in these nuclear plants is not fissile. It's not weapons grade. But there's a rumor that they retained some of the fissile material. And the rumor extends to the possibility of developing a nuclear weapon. It's a rumor. But it's a rumor that Moscow will hear, or already, we can assume they've already heard it. If we've heard it, in Londinium, Moscow's heard it 2,000 years from now. Does that change the formula of these next weeks as you analyze?
The power of apocalyptic rumors is that they always seem to emerge in moments of extremis, when a party is in existential fear of its own very survival.
And that's how Putin used it. That's an example of what Putin did early on.
Mr. Putin was doing that in the context of warning off the U.S. and NATO in terms of putting Russia in an extreme situation. But what this means in terms of a nuclear rumor of Ukrainian possession is somewhat different. I think it speaks to and helps to underscore an assessment that Ukraine right now is in extremis. Not Ukraine as a nation is in extremis, of course, and will be with the collapse of their economy in a few months, but the Ukrainian regime and the oligarchs who run Ukraine are in extremis. And the fact that such a rumor would emerge is an indication that someone or some small group is giving vent to those feelings of extreme anxiety and are trying to gain traction from it, maybe as a desperate last resort. But if we were to examine this seriously in terms of its possibility, well, we have to admit that Ukraine was integral to the Soviet Union. Soviet Union at its peak had something like 40,000 nuclear weapons. There were plenty of Ukrainian scientists, I'm sure, who were part of the various galaxy of Soviet nuclear programs. And, of course, there were tons of nuclear ordnance in Ukraine itself, as we know. And essentially, the expertise is there. The engineering capability is there. I mean, the Russians, for much of this last 90 days of war, have held off on attacking with their caliber missiles one of the most sophisticated factory complexes in Ukraine, because, in fact, it has been the source of the gas turbine engines that have, you know, that power Russian combat aircraft. And the turbine engine is one of the most sophisticated pieces of engineering that you can manufacture. Even the Chinese have not yet been able to come up to Russian and Western standards of fabrication. So, in fact, signs would point toward a capability on the part of Ukraine to in fact have created a weapon, and yet there would have to also then be many fingerprints, because no matter how guarded and secret such a program might be, it would have many fingers involved, and there would be many indicators and a lot of evidence floating around that they were heading in that direction. So it's really a rumor that's more interesting for what it tells you about the regime itself being in an extreme situation than it does necessarily point to an actual possession by that regime of a nuclear device.
Germanicus is Michael Vlahos. I am Gaius John Batchelor. We do not have more of this rumor than that the regime, the government in Kyiv, which is beholden to NATO for weapon systems now flowing to the east and along the rivers, beholden to NATO, is also accusing the UN of shirking its duty to protect its nuclear facilities. At the same time, we have this rumor of fissile material that perhaps was not evacuated in the late Cold War or evacuated in 2010 when Ukraine voluntarily gave up its fissile material, what was left. That's all we have, a rumor, 2,000 years from now. Now we're off to the theater. I've complained to Germanicus already that the troop that gave us Euripides at the back eye last week stayed in town. Who knows what they're going to do? It'll be more preachiness. Germanicus and I have debates about what kind of theater makes us happy. And I'm always happy by slapstick. And we're not going to get slapstick tonight. We're going to get a lesson in moral leadership. Germanicus is Michael Vlahos. I am John Batchelor. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. On our way to the theater, we'll, of course, sacrifice to our inspiration the divine Augustus at his temple. Thank you.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's C-O-T-A.com. Good luck to all the runners.